The monsoon storms in the valley bring walls of dust, then sheets of rain. And then there comes my favorite part, the smell. It's like the whole desert takes a deep breath and opens up. The distinct scent of creosote fills the air. Today in our series on the monsoon season, how the monsoon tickles our senses, starting with the smell of the post-rain desert. They say smell is the sense that's closest tied to memory, and that proved true for listener Jamie Alkenbrack, who called in to tell us her story.
One of my favorite monsoons was when I was 6 years old and my family had gone out to the desert in between Phoenix and Carefree. This was way back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, and there wasn't much out there. And a monsoon had filled a wash, and it was just churning full of brown, frosty water, and it was amazing to watch what was once dry, parched earth come to life. And that smell of wet, damp desert and creosote is always just a wonderful, happy memory for me.
Well, there is a reason the desert smells like this after the rain.
Some certain types of plants have these oils inside them, and whenever it rains, it helps to wash these oils out, so things that were inside the plant, you can now smell because they're on the outside.
And that means it's time for a little science lesson with Harvard atmospheric scientist Matthew Cappucci.
And that's why it smells so strongly after one of these summertime storms.
In fact, you know that phrase, I can smell a storm coming? Well, it's true, and that scent is lightning.
So when lightning hits, it's 55,000 degrees Fahrenheit, about five times warmer than the surface of the sun, and it splits the air molecules apart. So you have these little oxygen molecules, they partner with themselves, you have oxygen and oxygen, splits them apart, and sometimes they recombine, so you have three oxygen atoms together, and that's ozone, that stuff way high in the sky, but it's kind of rare to get down at the surface. And so we can smell it in very low concentrations, down to only 10 parts per billion, the equivalent of about two or three teaspoons in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And sometimes that lightning-produced ozone gets swept up in the winds ahead of the storm, so we actually literally smell the lightning before the storm even arrives.
In fact, Cappucci says, monsoon storms in the Sonoran Desert are some of his favorite to watch, and there's a science behind how they work, too.
So a thunderstorm, I always tell people, is a bit like an engine. It has intake, so the updraft, the air that goes up into it, and then when it spits out as well, you have this storm extract the heat from the air and produce this cool downburst of winds that heads towards the ground. And eventually, it can't go through the ground, so it has to fan out, and that produces what we call an outflow boundary, basically the leading edge of cooler air in advance of the storm. Now, sometimes in really dry climates, those winds to 60 miles an hour can really kick up the dust enough that it starts to rise high in the sky. So essentially with a haboob, you get this mile-high wall of dust moving at you at speeds 40, 50 miles an hour. It can be pretty dangerous.
Most of the year here, our weather reports are pretty simple, sunny and dry with various degrees of hot, until monsoon season. And it's that contrast that Cappucci says makes this season here truly remarkable.
There are very few places on Earth that have it with that dramatic of a swing and produce scenery that beautiful.
We all know that sound because monsoon storms, they like to announce their arrival. That boom of thunder can travel for miles, advertising the storm that's coming. Now, we here at the show, of course, love sound, and the sound of a rainstorm is a special favorite of our very own Annika Klein, a producer here at the show. And she got way closer to that sound this season than she'd bargained for.
I'm in my home, and this is the first real monsoon of the season. This is me recording a storm in early July in the comfort of my own home. I cracked the front door a little to capture the splash of water cascading off the roof. And then it was safely back inside to enjoy the soft, muffled tap dance of raindrops outside the house.
And even a light rain on like a tin roof, that's a beautiful sound.
That's Christine Haas. She's an avid rain listener too. She's actually a soundscape ecologist, a really cool title for someone who records sound in nature. Her sound collection includes the eerie call of coyotes and the swell of cicadas in chorus.
It's ear opening instead of eye opening. And suddenly there's a whole lot of things out there that you just filtered out before that you can't anymore.
And if Rainstorms formed a band, Christine would be their record producer. One of the first things Christine recorded was this thunderstorm, ambling toward her while she hung out at a pit stop in Utah during a long drive toward Arizona. It's that distant rumble, the muffled tapping, that makes me feel calm when I listen to rain. It's something you could fall asleep to. But then last month, I found myself inside a tent at a campground in northern Arizona and had a rude awakening. Where it was sunny just 30 minutes before, rain now battered the thin tent fabric. The wind pulled at the rainfly, and I could have sworn each clap of thunder was right above our campsite. We bailed. But in that half hour of waiting and listening, the sound of the monsoon season was transformed for me. This wasn't something you could fall asleep to. It sounded like the sky was ripping in half. When I told Christine this story, she laughed and shared this insight with me.
So much of the sounds we hear on a day-to-day basis are annoying and irrelevant. So we tune them out. And it's almost become a survival mechanism. In order to function, we have so much we have to tune out.
She says we may not realize how much natural noise we tune out too. The sounds that used to be key to our survival now are covered in a blanket of man-made noise until you get stuck in a rainstorm in a forest.
And I think, you know, part of what you experienced in the tent was basically being captive. You didn't have anything else to distract you.
And on the drive away from camp, I was held captive too, only able to look at the road ahead and watch one of the best lightning shows I've ever seen. For the show, I'm Annika Klein.